Hi guys, and welcome back to the Killer Crime Podcast. My name is Georgia and I co-host this podcast with my cousin Martha. Today is a solo episode from me, and I'm actually going to cheat for the first time since we started this podcast. I usually do UK cases while Martha covers ones from Canada, but today I'm doing an American case purely because I think it's a really interesting case with lots of mystery surrounding it, and one that you guys would be really interested in. It's about a college student who skips school one day, crashes her car, and disappears into thin air. So, where is Maura Murray? Maura Murray was born on the 4th of May 1982 to Fred and Laurie Murray. In high school, she was an athlete, as well as being very academically gifted. She went to study chemical engineering at the US Military Academy of West Point, but later transferred to the University of Massachusetts to study nursing. Now, she'd had some minor trouble with the law. In 2003, she was arrested for improperly using a credit card. She'd been using it to go out to different restaurants and stores, but what's odd here is that she actually ordered pizza using the stolen credit card and got it delivered to her house. So it was ridiculously easy for the police to track her down. She admitted that she'd gotten the card number from the bottom of a receipt and copied it down, but the police dismissed the charge because of Maura's good track record. Now, on the 7th of February 2004, Maura's dad Fred met up with her to help her look for a new car. Around 9 p.m, they both went in Fred's car to pick up Maura's friend Kate, and they all went out for drinks. Before Maura and Kate dropped Fred off at the hotel he was staying at, they went to a liquor store. And then after dropping Fred off, the girls went out to party. But in the early hours of the next morning, Maura crashed her dad's car. She told her dad that she had gone around a corner and hit some sand which had caused her to skid. She said that she hadn't had anything to drink in a while, and she didn't have to do a breathalyzer test and wasn't given a ticket by the police either. So she got off her car crash basically scot-free. In the early hours of the next morning, the 9th of February, Maura researched and printed out directions to two different locations, one set that led to the Berkshires and the other to Burlington, Vermont. Throughout the day, she also phoned vacation rentals in the Northeast, inquiring about availabilities, but she never booked anything. That same morning, Maura emailed all of her professors and told them that there had been a death in her family and that she wouldn't be in class for the rest of the week. But here's the thing, there was no death in her family. She then drove to an ATM and drew out $280 and went to a liquor store and spent $40 on Bailey's, Kahlua, vodka and red wine. Afterwards, she drove to the DMV to pick up the insurance paperwork for her dad's car that she'd crashed the day before. She then drove off again. At 7:27 p.m, 145 miles north of Maura's college town, a resident heard a heavy thump outside her home in Woodsville, New Hampshire. She peered out of her window to see a car crashed against a snowbank on Route 112. This witness phoned the police. Meanwhile, a local bus driver who lived down the road came up on the scene of the accident. He noticed a young woman, who he later identified as Maura Murray. He offered to help, but he said that the young woman convinced him not to call the police, claiming she'd already spoken to AAA. The man accepted her request and left. But something about her claiming to have phoned AAA didn't sit right with him. As I said, he was local to the area and he knew that there wasn't any cell service there. So when he arrived home, he decided to phone the police. At 7:46 p.m, so just about 20 minutes after the accident, police arrived at the scene. The car was locked, its windshield cracked, and the airbags had been deployed. They also found an empty soda bottle that smelled as though it had been filled with alcohol. There was an open box of wine on the passenger seat, and there was also wine splashed on the inside of her door as well as all over her seat. But Maura Murray was nowhere to be found. The only clue she left behind was a printout of directions to a condo complex in Burlington, Vermont. A review of Maura Murray's cell phone records showed that she called the owner of one of the condos, which was for rent, and police can only assume that she was headed to Burlington, though no one knew of her exact plans. Maura was declared a missing person the next day, and that's when authorities discovered that she had packed up her dorm. Apparently, placed on top of one of the boxes was a typed letter to her boyfriend detailing the problems in their relationship. 6 days after Maura disappeared, a massive search was launched involving tracking dogs, helicopters, trained searchers, local and state police, and state fish and game officials. The search covered a 20-mile area along Route 112, but not a single footprint was found in the snow. It was almost as if she had literally disappeared into thin air. The tracking dogs lost Maura's scent about 100 feet from the accident in the middle of the road, which suggests that Maura either hitched a ride, kept walking, or was abducted. Now, there are four main theories of what happened to Maura and why she hasn't been seen in over 16 years. Either she committed suicide, she left to start a new life, she died of exposure after her car crash, or she was picked up after the crash by an opportunistic murderer. So, with the suicide theory, she had obviously crashed her dad's car, now her own car, and had been arrested on that credit card issue. Maybe she thought that this would make her unemployable as a nurse and thought she didn't have much hope for the future. But then again, why would she bother drawing out $280 and printing off the two sets of directions to the Berkshires and Vermont? The next theory comes from investigative journalist James Renner. He doesn't believe that she was met with foul play, and his theory could explain how she was able to disappear so quickly after the bus driver came across her wrecked car. So this is a theory that she intentionally ran away to start a new life. I think this is also the theory that most people on the internet want to believe, and hence why no body has been found over all these years. So apparently it was quite common knowledge among her friends that her boyfriend was abusive towards her, and maybe with the car crashes and the credit card thing, she thought it'd just be easier to start afresh somewhere new. There's also been speculation that she was pregnant, and so wanted to leave to raise the baby by herself so that there wouldn't be any custody issues that would tie her to her boyfriend. This again would explain why she hasn't resurfaced in 16 years. If she's protecting a child, it makes sense that she wouldn't be tempted to come home. Some people also say that maybe someone was helping her to get to Canada, and she was stopping at Vermont on the way, hence the directions she'd printed off. That would also explain how she managed to disappear from the scene of the car crash so quickly. If she had been following someone else who was leading her there, maybe she just got into the car with them and continued her journey that way. This journalist also claims to have received an email with the subject, "Stop Looking," from someone named Ray Rommel, which is an anagram of Maura Murray, containing only the coordinates to the north slope of Mount Carrigan, which is in New Hampshire, specifically the Desolation Trail area. Obviously, Renner theorises that the coordinates lead to Maura's body. However, volunteers went to search the area, but they had to turn back due to heavy snow. But it's all a bit suspicious. In February of 2019, on the 15th anniversary of Maura's disappearance, Fred Murray announced a potential lead in the case. He had been granted access to a home near the crash scene where two cadaver dogs hit on an area in the basement. Up until that point, the homeowners wouldn't even open the door to Fred. But finally, after 15 years, the property owners relented and allowed the dogs to sniff around. Both dogs picked up a scent in the same area. Investigators searched the home in April 2019, but to the disappointment of Maura's family and friends, there was no sign of Maura or of any crime. Law enforcement went as far as cutting up chunks of concrete in search of Maura, but their efforts didn't produce any evidence of a crime. Ground-penetrating radar showed that the ground had been disturbed, but nobody had ever been buried there. Now, as for the exposure theory, I think it was the one that I believed the least to begin with, but the more I looked into it, I think this is what could have happened to her. So one person on Reddit, who is a military reconnaissance officer, has actually gone into a lot of detail about his theory on a Reddit thread that I'll leave a link to in our Facebook group. It's got way too much information to talk about now, but I'll summarize it. The theory does sound very plausible and could really explain how her body still hasn't been found. So, as a summary, there's a track that comes off the main road where Maura crashed her car, and this person thinks that Maura was drink driving, crashed her car, and then panicked that she would be arrested and get a DUI and ruin her future career. So he thinks that she wanted to get away from the car as quickly as possible, so grabbed a few of her belongings, like her phone, her keys and purse, and then ran to the nearest trail to wait there until the next morning when the effects of the alcohol had worn off and then the police wouldn't be able to prove she was drunk, so she'd get away with the DUI. This man thinks that she just didn't survive the night because it was so cold. You might ask how the search and rescue teams didn't find her body, and this man's theory is because those sorts of teams only search like main pathways and trails, and Maura may have wandered off the pathways in order to find somewhere less exposed to try and sleep off the effects of the alcohol. Now, these forests around the trails are vast, they're really dangerous and complex and basically not an easy place at all to search, meaning that it would be really easy for a body to remain there undiscovered for 16 years. So, that is the case of the disappearance of Maura Murray. As always, the links to the sources will be in the Facebook group, so make sure you head on over there to check them out, and make sure you read the whole Reddit thread of that specialist military guy, because I think he makes some really excellent points. Anyways, thank you for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed today's case. If you've listened all the way through to this point, then firstly, thank you so much. And if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we would be so grateful, as it really helps to support our podcast. So remember to let us know your thoughts. We're always active on our Instagram, TikTok, and we're also starting to build up the Facebook group. And we'd love to hear your comments on this case. But remember to be loud, be fierce, and don't talk to killers. Bye, guys.